welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. Stronghold Baptist Church. My bad. Not Steadfast, Stronghold. Take for your songbook, turn to song number 125. 125, The Solid Rock. Oh, that's okay. 125, The Solid Rock. Song number 197, Sing I Go. Song number 197, Sing As I Go.
Good to have you all back with us for our evening service. At this time, we are going to go through our announcements once again. So if you don't have one of these, slip your hand up real high. We'll make sure that we can get one out to you. If you open up to the first page, you'll see our service times listed there. Sunday morning at 10:30. Sunday evenings change till 5 p.m. Looks like everybody is right on with the start times. I don't think anyone showed up early today. So this is the way it will be for the foreseeable future. Wednesday night, of course, 7 o'clock. That hasn't changed. Our Bible study, we're going to be in Isaiah 62 this week. We've got the soul winning opportunities listed there. Note the added time on Thursday evening in South Carolina. Brother Vernon's leading that up. So that is very good news. Just more soul winning in general for the church. So praise the Lord for that. If you have any times, though, notice here it says contact us for additional soul winning time. So if there's, if you want to go out and preach the gospel, we want to help you to do that. So if there are times that simply don't work out for one reason or another in your schedule and you can't make it to any of these times, maybe you don't live by them or whatever, let us know and, you know, we'll see what we can do to accommodate and find somebody that you can go soul winning with and set up a time to be able to do so, because that is the lifeblood of this church. So just let us know. We've got the salvations and baptisms there for the month of June as well as for the year. Real quick, before we get salvations for today, was there anything else to report for earlier in the week? Anything that hasn't been reported already? Salvations? All right, well, let's go ahead and count up the salvations for today. I know, Brother Jesse, you see I did one, right, in your group? And then we had one, and then Brother Lindsay, one. Emily, one, and one. And DJ? Three. Amen. All right. And then I think Brother Vernon's group had four, is what Micah said. Four? Yes. Okay. Four for them. That's great. So did I miss anybody's number here? Seven, nine, 12 salvations. Amen. All right. Well, it's another week. We've been added an extra hour, and it shows, right? I mean, that's the whole reason why we did that. So you put in more time, and you got people going out, you're going to see more salvation. I know. Our salvation, I went with Brother Micah, didn't come until the very end. It would have been zero if we would have quit an hour earlier. So, praise God, right? It's good. Anyways, that's why we did that. We got the offering totals on the bottom of the page for the month of June. Prayer requests. Continue to pray for, you know, of course, Mrs. Estrada. Her estimated due date is today. I like to stress estimated because, you know, I don't like that term due date. I think it stresses women out sometimes, like, oh man, this is due, I gotta have this. I mean, they're already wanting to have it be over by this time anyways. Yeah. You don't need to have a day come and go, and then it's like, oh man, what's, you know, there's nothing wrong if it doesn't come on the estimated due date, because it's an average, right? In order to get an average, that's gonna mean some people have to go later and some people go earlier. My wife, unfortunately, is on the extreme end of the average of going later. That's where you get to those numbers. So we've dealt with that. Anyways, keep praying for the Strata family. I hope they're doing really well. Pray everything goes well. Pray for everyone else on our list here. Does anybody have an update on anyone that is on the prayer request? Okay. Continue to pray for everyone here. Pray for Pastor Anderson and Faith Lord Baptist Church. He's going to be traveling out here. He'll be here next week. So pray for his travels. Pray everything goes well. Also, pray for Steadfast Baptist Church. Continue to pray for them. More problems. Just talked to my wife today. He's at Faith Lord right now. He's preaching there. And they are having much more problems. I'm not going to get into details because I don't know what should be shared or what should not be shared yet. But keep them in your prayers. More building problems, protest problems. Apparently, the filthy reprobates are just that, and that is the cause now of them trying to be evicted from their current place, which started off being okay with them, but apparently, like, some of the ladies are going topless and stuff like that, and it's just, yeah, just it's just allowed. It's just allowed. It's okay now, apparently. So, anyways, pray for them. You know, there's a lot. There's other things going on too that they're gonna have, that they're dealing with. So, you know, this is a time where fasting and prayer is appropriate because they've been dealing with this stuff for a really long time, and they have lots and lots and lots of issues. They have been at the brunt of the attack now solely for quite a while. And, you know, I have no doubts in that church or in Pastor Shelley, but it's a lot that they have to deal with right now. So pray for them, pray for their strength, pray that God will, you know, wipe out the wicked reprobates that apparently too many people are afraid to do anything about. You know, police aren't doing anything about it. It's dark. Just pray for their safety and pray that God will bless them and that justice will reign true, you know, sooner rather than later. We know justice is going to come one way or another, and, you know, if it has to wait a little while, it is coming for certain. God is a God of justice, but pray God will strengthen them in the meantime. So please, that's a very important prayer. Pray for Steadfast Baptist Church, Pastor Shelley, and everything that's going on there. And on the next page, as I already mentioned, we've got a guest preacher coming out here, Pastor Stephen Anderson from Faith Ward Baptist Church. He'll be here Sunday, July 10th, next week, 1 week from today. He's going to be preaching both services. So, of course, give him a warm welcome while he's here. Make sure that if he needs anything, we'll provide that for him. And we'll have extra soul winning time on Saturday, July 9th. And it's going to be meeting up right here if you want to do some extra soul winning. I am anticipating extra people, you know, people from out of town showing up to go soul winning. So anyone that would like to show up that doesn't normally, I'd appreciate it, especially if you are a talker and can help potentially if people show up that are not able to do the talking. It'd be nice to have people here that can help out with that. Bible memory passage, we're on week 3 of 4 of Hebrews chapter 3, verses 13 through 19. You eventually get a prize for being able to memorize that as soon as I get caught up. Upcoming events, July 14th through the 17th, Red Hot Preaching Conference, Verity Baptist Church, Sacramento, California. And September 3rd is our planned date. It's a Saturday for the Soul Winning Marathon in Alabama. So details to be determined hopefully soon. Let you know what we're doing with that. But that's the Labor Day weekend, essentially. So hopefully you've got that weekend off. If you're going to be in town, join us as we travel to Alabama, preach the gospel. Birthdays and anniversaries listed there. That's the Estrada anniversary today. Happy anniversary to them. Wouldn't that be something that they have a child today, anniversary, birthday on the same day? It'd be kind of cool. So anyhow, that's about it for our announcements. So I'm going to ask Brother Jesse to come back up here once again, and he'll lead us in our next song.
All right, for the third song we're singing, it's under 198, Joy Unspeakable. It's under 198, 198, Joy Unspeakable.
Joy unspeakable.
tithes and offerings. Brother Lindsay Stone will be passing on the plate. And while the offering plate is being passed around, please turn, if you would, your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. Brother Devin will be reading out loud while you can read along silently. This is Leviticus chapter 23.
Once again, that was Leviticus chapter 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover, and on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. And the seventh day is an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow. After the Sabbath the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. And ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days. And ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock, and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then ye shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord, with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priests. And ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be an holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleanings of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the 7th month, in the 1st day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Also on the 10th day of this 7th month there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you. And ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month. At even, from even unto even, shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be in holy convocation, ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be in holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon his day, beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings, which ye give unto the Lord. Also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. Let's pray. Brother Lindsay, can you pray for us, please?
All right. I know I went a little overtime this morning. I'm not planning on going overtime this evening. And the subject matter for this evening's sermon is actually very simple. It's a very simple concept, and I'm hoping just to stir you up. I don't know how long the preaching is going to be. It's probably not going to be very long, though, because the topic is real simple. But I want to drive home this concept and hopefully just stir you up in your spirit to serve the Lord more. And the subject matter for today, what I'm grabbing out of Leviticus 23, and we're going to cover is just briefly, is this the concept of the first fruits. The first fruits. Now, the first fruits isn't a word that we normally use very often today, but it's not a very hard word to understand. You put first and you put fruits together, first fruits, it literally means what those words mean. It's used in harvest time when the crops are all grown up and it's time to reap. It's time to go out into the fields, and it takes a while to go and reap and get everything, get all the fruits of your labor, bring it all in and deal with it all. The first fruits are the very first batch. You go out and you bring that first batch in, which is usually a very joyous time. Hey, you made it through. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of labor, making sure everything's going to go, taking care of pests, doing everything you got to do. I'm not a farmer. I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but it's not that hard to understand that there is a lot of joy that comes when you finally are able to reap the fruits of your labor. Because I know that it's not easy work. It's very hard work, and it has only been harder even in the past. We've got a lot of technology to help us these days. It's still hard work. So the concept here is the first fruits, and who does the first fruits go to? Well, the Bible says here in verse number 9, the Bible says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2 tenth deals of fine flour mingled with oil. An offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor, and the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. Look at verse 14, because this is key. I mean, up to this point, before we get into verse 14, he's saying, you're going to bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And there's actually, in Exodus 23, talking about the first fruits, it's actually in two different places, Exodus 23:19 and Exodus 34:26, the same exact verse, basically verbatim, says this: the first of the first fruits of thy land shalt thou bring into the house of the Lord thy God. The first of the first fruits of thy land. So it's not just, well, anything out of the first. He says, no, the first of the first fruits goes to God. And this is an important concept that we need to internalize as believers. God deserves the first of your efforts. He deserves the first of what you do. He deserves the first of your attention. He deserves the first. He deserves the best. God ought to be number one in your life. God ought to be your waking thought. God ought to be the one that you go to first. God ought to be the one that you honor with your first fruits, with the blessings he's given you, to make sure he gets recognition for what he's done for you. Now, I preach this sermon this evening, and this is, I'm stirred up by this, and it's actually kind of, I decided to preach this just real recently, like this morning, okay? And I'm not preaching this because, and I rarely do this, I am preaching this just as much for me as for everybody else that's in this room. And I'm preaching it because it's important. And I'm preaching it because it's easy to start slacking off on some areas of our life when it comes to giving God our best, giving God the first, and not letting the things of God slip down the line and putting everything else before him, especially when you take the time to think about all the blessings that God has given you in your life. You think about what God has done for you, and usually in the immediate sense, if we receive something from God, God answers a prayer, we're very thankful right away. Right? Right away. But then as time goes by, we have a tendency to forget. We have many people in this room that I can look at, and I know for a fact, hey, God has worked in your life, and God has blessed you, and God has maybe even saved your life. And that is important, and we need to remember that and not let that slide, and keep God number one in our life. And treat God where he ought to be, the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, being number one in our life. Before everything else is God. And he it requires and is deserving of the first fruits. Now, it's shown here, not even symbolically, but in their in the law that they had to do this. But notice, like, even in the passage that we mentioned here, that he says, well, when you get into the land that I give you, then you bring me the first sheaf. And it's going to be wave for a wave offering. And, you know, the point is made, hey, you're given this. You better show your respect unto God. And I think that we as believers, that we as Christians, ought to make sure that we have our priorities set where God gets our best. He gets our first. And I'll raise my hand and confess my faults, that I've been guilty of waking up, man, I'm late, I got to go to work, and all my focus is on everything else. But that's not the way it ought to be. If you're like that day in, day out, you should plan to get up earlier and make sure that you can recognize, at the very least, however you choose to do that, make sure that you recognize the Lord first. I would say in prayer to God, in reading from his word, start your day off and say, God, before I do anything else, I'm going to seek you first. I'm going to be thinking about you. I'm going to set my thoughts right for the day and give you my best. give you the first. Because God is worthy of that. You see, Pastor Burson, that sounds fanatical. Okay. You know what? There's a man in the Bible that said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And you know, it sounds real good, doesn't it? And people can say, yeah, amen, that's great. But then what happens when you go home? It preaches well. Everyone can get excited about that. But what does it really mean to hear it and say amen unless you go home and do something about it? If you actually put it into practice that Christ does deserve the first fruits. That to me to live really is Christ and to die is gain. And I'm not saying that you wouldn't mean it in your heart, right? And that you're not there spiritually, because when you hear things of God and you hear things of the Spirit, the inner man's going, yes, amen, that's great. But we have the battle with the flesh that's always trying to distract us. We need to get our bearings straight. I said, this is a simple concept, right? Agreed? This is very simple. But sometimes we just need that refocus of going, yeah, but Pastor Burns, we're doing all these challenges and everything else. I know, we've been trying to push things. But you know what I want to do? I want to make sure we start off our day right. Instead of God getting the leftovers, how about he gets the first? How many times have people watched TV, played games, did other leisure activities, wasted time, and then, oh, I didn't read my Bible today. Wow, I mean, it's really late. I'm tired. It's midnight. I got to go to bed. I got an early day tomorrow. You don't think much of it at the time. But me saying that right now, how does that sound for a God that's given you all that he's given you? Every breath that you take freed you from a destination in hell. I mean, that's why the Bible talks about that we should be a living sacrifice, because it's our reasonable service. We should offer up ourselves living sacrifices. Like, hey, I'll sacrifice whatever you want, God. What do you need? What do you want me to do? I'm here. You want me to quit my job? You want me to move? You want me to go? Sure, done. Why? Because he's worthy. And look what the Bible says here, because it's one thing to agree and be like, yes, that sounds good, that's great. But it's also, I mean, this is taught in Scripture very clearly. And look at what the verse says there in verse 14, Leviticus 23. The Bible says, and ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. He says, don't even think about eating this before you bring me the first of the first fruits. You don't partake in any of it until I get some first. You think God needs to eat the corn? Of course not. What he wants is your heart. He wants your heart right with him. He wants your focus right. He wants you thinking about the things of God and saying, you know what? There is an order in my life. And the order starts with God at the top. Not God at the end. Not, well, I'm going to give him the gleanings. Whatever the leftover is. Like they leave for the widows and the poor people. Yeah, we'll just pick up whatever's left over and then bring that to God. Don't leave God with the gleanings. Amen. He deserves the first. And, you know, something like this, I believe we ought to be instituting things, even in our families, where there's a proper order and a proper respect. Amen. And I'll give you an example. Because these days, things are backwards. And there's so many little things that you might just be able to sit there and say, well, that's not really a big deal. Who cares? And there's little things that we do and changes that you make to make things just easier. But it doesn't make things better. And here's where I'm going with that. Oftentimes when you go out to a restaurant, when we go out to a restaurant to get some food, they'll want to bring all the kids' food first. And the reason why is because most parents can't control their children and have them sit still and not cause a tantrum and not cause a ruckus and not be, you know, all over the place and just get them their food, right? So they could be busy and settle down and everything else. That is a self-defeating purpose, though. When you start catering to little terrorists, they don't get better. They're going to get worse. When you start that pattern of going, oh, well, all I have to do is throw a big fit, and then I get my food. What do you think they're going to keep doing? So the way that we solve that problem is that they do not get the first fruits of the labor. In my house, I get served first. And my kids get their plate, and we all wait until Leslie's done serving to sit down. And then nobody takes a bite of food, and we all pray to the Lord and give thanks to God for blessing us with the food that he's given us that day. And once that's done, I don't care how long it takes. I don't care if the food gets cold. Then you're allowed to eat. Amen. And it may sound ridiculous to some. It may sound old-fashioned. It may sound like not a big deal. But you know what? Things matter. This order matters. It's going to prove a point in the lives of my children that they will remember for the rest of their lives. That's the way things are done. Why? Because God is important and God is going to be recognized first. Amen. First. I tell my children that can read, before you start your studies, you read your Bible. Because the Bible reading portion of your academics is more important than all the rest of your subjects. Amen. You read your chapters first. Read first. Get that done. If anything else goes sideways in your day, at least you can say, well, I already spent time with the Lord. Amen. I already prayed. I already did that. You know, he deserves it. Yeah. Right. Figure out the least important things in your life. Put that at the end. So then if you're too tired and too busy and you got too much going on, well, I didn't play the stupid game today. Great. I didn't watch some stupid TV show. Great. Fine. Who cares? You didn't need it anyways. But when you start slacking off on your relationship with the Lord, you're going to have problems. Not only is it going to impact you just because your mind isn't going to be quite as spiritual, isn't going to be quite thinking firstly on the things of God, but God demands that respect and that position in your life. And sometimes, if things get too out of control, he might have to do something to force you to get humbled and go back to seeking God again. God's got a pattern of doing that with his people. Now, he's long-suffering and merciful, but again, there gets a point. Let's not have to get to that point. And let's honor the Lord for his goodness, because his mercy endureth forever. And he's deserving of our praise and our attention and our love and our focus. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter number 3. And I forgot to read the rest of that verse there where it says that you're not going to eat bread or corn or green air until the self-same day you brought an offering unto God. This wasn't just when they first enter into that promised land that he was making this proclamation. It says, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It's a perpetual thing. Proverbs 3, we see the same concept of honoring the Lord with our first fruits. Now here, you know, just as in similar to Exodus 23 or in Leviticus 23, it's physical, right? Like it's goods, it's things that we receive and these physical blessings we receive, and we're honoring God with those first fruits. So you gotta be willing to part with and say, well, here you go, God, you deserve that. Look at Proverbs 3, verse 5. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And we're reading this in context. Sometimes you might think that Proverbs are kind of all over the place, but I'll tell you what, they're really not. There is many different concepts that get brought up, but there's really a lot that they have to do with one another. And this is no different. Okay, leaning not unto your own understanding is very important when it goes to honoring the Lord with your first fruits. Let's just keep on reading. We'll get the whole passage and then I'll start expounding. Verse number 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Do you want God leading you in your life? Are you looking for God's direction? You want God to help you out and help you with decisions and tell you where to go? Well, how about you start acknowledging him in all of your ways? I mean, that's what the scripture says. That's the way you get it. That's how you're going to get him to direct your paths. Start acknowledging him. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. This is talking about your increase, your earnings, your wages, whatever form they may come. In our modern form, usually it comes in the form of money, right? But however God has blessed you and increased you, the Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance. And again, it's not because God cares about, he doesn't need money, he doesn't need that stuff, but he wants that place in your life where he sees, I'm giving to you, God. And I'm not going into tithing with this sermon, but it's just one example of something that you do with your increase where you're going, hey, God blessed me with all that I have here. God blessed me again and helped me to increase. So what do? Before I pay the mortgage, before I pay the electric bill, before I pay the water bill, before I pay anything else, you know what I do with my money? 10%. Here you go, Lord. Because if I'm going to be late on a bill, it's not going to be late on money that belongs to God. Because the tithe belongs to the Lord. It's what the Bible says. Okay, and I'm not saying this because I want your money. Look, I don't need your money. It's what the Bible says. He gets the first. Hey, that's what I do. Why wouldn't I teach the same exact thing? I know talking about money gets people uncomfortable, but hopefully you know better about this church that it's not what we're all about. But you know what? If the Bible says something about it and talks about it, then I'm going to preach about it. I'm not going to be ashamed about it either. I'm not going to dance around it either. It says what it says. Hey, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And you remember earlier we said, trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thy own understanding. The problem is, people don't have as much of a problem with honoring the Lord with their increase when things are going really well. Right? Because you kind of could feel like that's extra anyways and like, great, I'm doing okay. I could afford this. The problem comes in when people think they can't afford to give God the first fruits of their increase. I can't afford it. Don't lean onto your own understanding. Because when you read the next verse here in verse 10, because verse 9 doesn't end with a period. When it says, with the first fruits of all thine increase, it has a colon. And it's going to provide a lot more information about why you need to do that. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Hey, God will bless you. Trust him. Honor him with the first fruits. He got you that where you are to begin with. Turn if you would to Matthew chapter 6. Look, if you want God's blessing in your life, do what he says. Put him first. And I don't care what situation you're in. I don't care if you're homeless. You say, well, I got to work 7 days a week. No, you don't.
Right.
No, you don't.
Right.
Do you still have breath? Where does God fit in your life? You could sacrifice at least 1 day a week for the Lord.
Yeah.
One service a week for the Lord. How about that?
Yeah.
You might be down and out. And look, men need to provide for their own family.
Right.
Amen. Yes, you do. But you know what? God comes first.
Right.
God comes first. He comes before a roof over your head. He comes before food and your children's mouths. God comes first.
Amen.
God comes first. Always. And if you even have a job, God's blessed you with that job. Why don't you give the Lord thanks and seek Him for at least a couple hours out of your busy week? Because you know what's going to happen. Unfortunately, people get, we're habitual. So the more you keep thinking, well, I don't have time for this, and I can't afford that, and I can't tithe, and I can't do this, and I'm in this situation, and you're not seeking God, what makes you think you're going to one day, well, not one day I'll go back to church, one day I'll get, yeah, that one day is going to come after God takes away everything He gave you. And then you're right back to square one. You'll be forced to go back and seek the Lord. But if you have faith and you have thanksgiving for everything that God has done for you, you will go to the Lord first. First. Make it a priority. I personally think that people need to be, when it comes to careers and work choices and stuff like that, I've done this personally. I will not work for a place that's going to require me to miss church. Not the job for me. I don't care what the pay is. Obviously, you may have some weird circumstances where, like, you have to be out of town for a day or something, you know, like, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, nope, every Sunday, can't make church. They got me scheduled every Sunday, not gonna, you know, like, well, you know what? Maybe you should start looking for another job.
Yeah.
Or, sorry, God. What, instead of doing that, sorry, God, what can I do? The boss scheduled me. What can I do, God? What do you think God would say to that? What can you do? What can you? What do you think I can do?
Yeah.
Talk about no fear of God. I'm not just making this up. We saw that God says you are not going to eat anything until you bring me that first fruit and you make that sacrifice. Then you're allowed to eat. This is the same God that says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all that increase. And then He's like, okay, if you do this, I'm going to bless you.
Right.
This is the same God out of the mouth of Jesus in Matthew 6, verse 31, says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God knows what you need. Honor God with the first fruits. He'll take care of you. Say, where's your faith? Last place we're going to turn, Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. And you know, I get it. I get the doubts. I get the problems. I get the stress. I understand the stress of having to work and feeling like you're drowning and feeling like there's, you know, you're overwhelmed with all your circumstances and conditions. I understand that. I do. I've been there, and sometimes I feel like I'm still there, and you know, whatever. There's always something going on. Always. There always seems to be something going on. Take a step back and think about this logically now. Because I'm talking to people who have decided to stake their soul on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior to save them eternally. And nothing else. Everyone in this room I'm talking to, I hope, has done that. Has said, you know what? My faith, I'm trusting in something I haven't seen. I'm trusting in the Word of God. I'm trusting in a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for my eternity. For my whole being in eternal life is placed on Jesus Christ. If we could think about that, I mean, the most precious thing you have, your own life, your whole life is placed in Christ. Can we not trust the same Christ with giving a little of the first fruits to God and trust the promise? And I mean, what's more important, the money you pull in or your soul? And when you think about it that way, wow, I mean, I was willing to stake my soul on Christ, but I can't be willing to believe him when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the food and the clothing will be added unto you. It kind of doesn't make any sense anymore when you think about it that way, does it? Yeah. Put things in perspective. We don't want to become like the people in Malachi. Children of Israel, Malachi. They had a lot of problems. And God's rebuking them in Malachi chapter 1. They think they're fine. They think there's nothing wrong. The problem is they got used to giving God all of their leftovers, all of their just, it became so much of a check the box, and their heart was so far removed from actually having the Lord number one in their life, that it became just, well, what can I get away with basically and still do this thing and still offer this sacrifice and still have this. And, man, I mean, do we really need, just like the Pharisees, you know, when instead of trusting the Lord and honoring his word when it says honor your father and mother, they were saying, well, it's Corban. Just consider that a gift, whatever, however you might be benefited by me. However you might be profited by me. It's your own dad, your own mom. Why? Because it's work to take care of someone. They're turning it, in a way they're thinking they're still following the commandment when they're really not, and bastardizing the word of the Lord through their actions. Malachi's same type of thing. Verse number 6, chapter 1, the Bible says, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. This is like from God's perspective, right? If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And you know, again, this also speaks to the home. You know, a father ought to have honor in his home. Just as much as God has ought to have honor from his children here on earth. And he's asking them, well, hey, if I'm a father, where's my honor? Because it's just known that dad should have honor in the household. And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. These are supposed to be holy people. These are the priests. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Like, what are you talking about, God? What do you mean? We haven't despised your name. Verse 7, he responds. Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. They hate doing their offerings and sacrifices unto God. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. So notice what they're doing here. Because this is the great point. If a really dignified person like a governor shows up, they're not going to go get the worst of the flock and offer that. Oh, here you go. They're going to go get the best and treat them like royalty. But when it comes to God's offerings and sacrifices, they're going, well, it's just going to get burned up anyways or whatever. This is just going to, let's just take this one over here. That'll work. He's got a broken leg anyways. We're going to have to do something with it. Might as well throw it on the altar. It's a wicked attitude. That's wicked as hell. I hope no one's sitting out there going, yeah, that's not a bad idea. It's a good way to kill two birds with one stone. And now I pray you, verse 9, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there, even among you, that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. God's name ought to be great among the whole world. The name of the Lord, the name of Jesus Christ ought to be magnified, which is why he deserves our best. And if you're giving him your worst, what are other people going to be thinking about your God? He gets nothing from you. Why would anyone else even want to have anything to do with that God? Obviously, if he's not worthy of your time and worthy of your sacrifice and worthy of the best from you, then how worthy is he as a God? Verse 12, but ye have profaned it in that ye say the table of the Lord is polluted and the fruit thereof, even his meat is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is. And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn and the lame and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. It's one thing if all you have would be, an animal or whatever. Like if that's all you have to offer, like the widow that had two mites and she threw it in, God's not angry with that. But like he says here, hey, you have something good in your flock, and you're just going to give me the refuse? He's like, you better recognize, you better respect. Yeah. Because he says, my name is dreadful among the heathen. So you know who you're dealing with. I'm the Lord of hosts. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not preaching this to sound scary or threaten or anything like that. We ought to have a healthy fear of the Lord. And I don't think that there's people here that are like the people of Malachi that are that bad and just like dumping on the service of the Lord. But I do think we all could probably stand for managing our schedules appropriately to make sure God is first. It's easy to let that slide. It is. All it takes sometimes is one upheaval, and your whole schedule can be thrown out of balance and out of whack, and then you got to get it back. I understand that. Look, I'm preaching this sermon for myself just as much as anyone else, okay? I understand, and hopefully I'm the worst offender. It's not like I'm not reading the Bible or stuff like that, but God deserves our best. He deserves our best. He deserves the first. take what you will from you know, what we see here. But first fruits, it's an important subject in Scripture. And of all of anything that you could ever think of where you could decide what's first in your life, no one, nothing is more worthy than the Lord of hosts. So choose for yourself how you decide to do that, but we all would be benefited by putting God number one in our day, in our schedule, with what we have to offer, and not on the back burner. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for your word. We thank you for all that you've done for us, dear Lord. You truly are worthy of our praise, of our dedication, of our service, dear Lord. We love you. And again, we thank you, dear God. I pray that you please help us to overcome our flesh, to overcome our you know, any problems that we have with trying to make sure we have enough time to do everything, and that we will definitely make the time to serve you and to seek you. And Lord, that is an important thing for us. And you know, it's great to be just reminded of how much you have done for us, dear Lord. And God, we love you, and we are here to serve. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one last song before we're dismissed. Brother Jesse, please lead us.
All right, for the final song we're singing is song number 288.